One of the great texts that points to Jesus Christ, especially seen through the book of Revelation chapter 5, is Genesis chapter 49, verses 9 and 10. Right in the midst of giving prophecies concerning his sons, Jacob prophesies concerning Judah, out of which comes our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 9, it reads as follows, Gur Aryeh Yehuda, Meteref Beni Alita, Kara Rabatz, Ke Aryeh U Helavi Mi Yekimenu. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped, he crouched as a lion, and as a lioness, who will arouse him or cause him to arise? Gur is a noun meaning whelp, and it is in construct with Aryeh, a noun, masculine, singular, meaning lion. And so the whelp of a lion is understood Yehuda, Judah. Looking at the imagery of a lion as the ruler, so to speak, of the animal world. And then he goes on, Meteref Beni Alita, from the prey, my son, you have come up. Minteref is from the preposition min, and notice the noon has assimilated into the tat, and teref is a noun that means prey. And beni is a noun from bin, meaning son, and with the it is in construct here with the pronominal suffix, first common singular, in the e. So from the prey, my son, alita, you have come up, or you are gone up. The root is Allah, to go up, and notice we have the ta ending showing that it's a second masculine singular cal perfect from Allah. Historically, this was a lamed yod verb, and that's why the yod is reappearing here in the root in this perfect form here. So, Alita, you have gone up, speaking of Judah, like a lion coming up from the prey, victorious over its prey. And then it reads, Kara, he stooped down. Kara is just your cal perfect, third masculine singular from Kara. Ravatz, he couched. Again, a cal perfect, third masculine singular from Rabatz. He couched as a lion. Ke is the inseparable preposition followed by the noun Aryeh, meaning lion. So he couched as a lion, ready again to enjoy his prey, as it were, that he has captured. So who is going to arouse him in that state? And then it goes on to say, Uchelavi miyekimenu. And as a lioness, notice again the U is the conjunction and He is the inseparable preposition followed by the noun Levi, meaning lioness. Noun. This noun is a feminine singular. And as a lioness, who? Me is simply the interrogative pronoun rendered who here. Yekimenu, who will rouse him? Notice Yekimenu is from the root kum, to arouse or to cause to arise, and it is the kal imperfect third masculine singular from kum. Notice the n is a hinge, and the dogish in the nun shows that a he has assimilated. The form would have been ye ki men hu, becoming ye ki men nu, and the dogish forte in the nun showing the reverse assimilation that it occurred when the he was assimilated by the nun. The he was the or the hu. The who was the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular, added to this verbal root. So who will arouse him? And again, the picture is that of a lion come up from its prey, has now crouched, and is enjoying its prey, so to speak, and who is going to rouse this lion or stir him up? And then the text goes on, Lo yasur shevet mehuda. The scepter will not depart from Judah, umechokek, nor a lawgiver, or one who gives a law, from between his feet. Or actually, this should be rendered a ruler's staff from between his feet, mibein raglav, until Shiloh come, and to him will be the obedience of the peoples. Notice, lo is just your negative particle followed by yasur. Yasur is the kal imperfect third masculine singular from sur. Note the yod indicating the prefix third person, third masculine singular in this imperfect verb. Shevet is the noun that simply means scepter. And this is what a king would hold. And so the scepter will not depart, me'uda, from Judah. And notice, me'uda, we have the preposition, which historically would have been min. The nun has dropped out, and then the yod of Yehuda is used here along with the hirik under the mem to form a vowel in the hirik yod. So mihuda, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor u is just your conjunction, and it can be rendered nor here, nor mechokek, a ruler's staff. Or the staff of a king. Notice the form here is a polel participle, masculine singular from hook. Notice the mem is indicating a participial form with the O class vowel and the tsere, setting forth a polel participle. And this word can be rendered a staff of a ruler. And so, nor a ruler's staff, mibein raglav, from between his feet. Men, historically, went into bane with the noon assimilating into the bait, causing the dogish forte again, from between, and raglav is from the noun regal, and notice raglai is in construct with the vav here, the pronominal suffix third masculine singular. So a scepter and or a ruler's staff from between his feet would be the way that this should be rendered, showing his authority. This ruler's staff shall not depart from Judah, ad ki yavo Shiloh, until, and notice, ad ki, until that silo should come. Ad is simply the conjunction here, rendered until that time, probably understood, Shilo Yavo. And notice Yavo is the cow imperfect third masculine singular from Bo, followed by Shilo. Shilo has been discussed by many commentators. BDB, Brown, Driver, and Briggs, understands it to be rendered something like to whom it is, or to whose it is. She, meaning whom, and lo, to him, a pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. So the scepter will not depart until Shiloh comes, meaning to whom the scepter belongs. So there will be the kingly line running through Judah until the final Messiah comes, which we as Christians understand to be Jesus Christ, who is the one that will fulfill that. Velo yichat amim. And to him will be understood the obedience of peoples. That is just your conjunction and lo is the inseparable preposition followed by the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular, to him. And yikha is the noun meaning obedience, and it's in construct with amim, so the final hey changes to a tav here. Yikhat, rendered obedience of the peoples. And amim is just the noun am in the masculine plural with the im ending. And so to him will be the obedience of the peoples. When we look at these two verses, we see their fulfillment in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, concerning Jesus Christ and how he fulfills this great text. When John saw a scroll that had been sealed, and no one in heaven nor upon earth was worthy to open the scroll and to unloose its seals. But then one of the elders says in verse 5, stop crying, speaking to John. Behold, the lion who is out of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered, understood here, to open the book and its seven seals. In this great text, we see Genesis chapter 49 applied to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has conquered over against all of the adversaries of sin and of death, and defeated the prey of death and sin, has conquered. And he is the lion, referencing back to our text in Genesis chapter 49, who is of the tribe of Judah. Jesus comes from Judah. And he then is the root of David, going to Isaiah 11, where Isaiah 11 and Genesis 49 are interconnected here in the book of Revelation. So Jesus Christ is the lion out of the tribe of Judah who has conquered, and the scepter did not depart from Judah until Messiah has come. And we believe that to be Jesus Christ. And in the following verses, John sees Jesus as the Lamb now standing, having been slain, having seven horns and eyes, seven eyes, which are the spirits of God sent forth into all the world. And so here we see Jesus in his absolute power with the seven horns. And it is significant that when we look at the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ is the final king, Messiah, who has conquered death and defeated the prey, as it were, of sin and death. And he is coming someday as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to reign eternally in a new heaven and new earth. He is already the reigning sovereign. And clearly, Genesis 49 has its fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lamb of God. I am reminded of a Bible teacher, Dr. Mitchell, who always used to sing the song. It goes something like this: "Oh, the Lion of Judah has broken the seals and given us the victory again and again. Oh, the Lion of Judah has broken the seals and given us the victory again and again." And I think when we think of that song, we certainly can see the interconnection between Genesis chapter 49 and Revelation chapter 5, and how Jesus truly is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King, and the scepter did not depart from Judah until the final King has come, who bears that scepter forever. And the obedience of many peoples, out of Jew and Gentiles, who put their faith in Jesus Christ, will be gathered together around this King of Kings and Lord of Lords in a new heaven and new earth to worship him as the reigning sovereign throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity.